Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The story of the day, really the story of the week, is Jason Garrett being on the hot seat. And there are those that think he should have been gone long ago. But clearly he entered this season with a mandate. He didn't get the contract extension. He entered this season with an unspoken mandate. I felt he had to get at least to the NFC Championship game to keep his job. But now, after that loss to the Patriots on Sunday, they only lost by four in Foxborough. Not a terrible showing. However, they looked bad and they lost. Jerry Jones, for the first time in Garrett's 10 years with the Cowboys, has criticized him publicly. He went hard at him after the game and has not only doubled down on it, but tripled down on it. Today he talks again on Good Morning Football, and here's what he had to say.
Let me tell you, no one in this country has earned the right to say, I'm a Jason Garrett man more than me. I am his man. And we want the very same thing, and that's for our players to play at their very best. And we want his staff to coach at their very best.
All right, George, I'm going to share my view quickly, and then I want to hear yours. I have been with most people all year long in feeling that Jason Garrett had this season. No matter what happens, essentially, he's going to be the coach of the rest of the season, and then they'll make a decision on him if he doesn't get, like I said, to the NFC Championship game. I think I'm changing my mind. I feel like, based on what Jerry Jones has said, based on what Troy Aikman, who, look, we know he's a Cowboys hero. We know he's talking to people in that organization. He was very critical of Garrett on national television. Dez Bryant, I don't put much stock into what Dez Bryant says. But Dez Bryant tweeted Monday night that Jason Garrett, he made it clear he's not a racist, but he said he can't relate to the black players on the team. I bring that up because I don't know this for a fact, but it's educated speculation. Dez Bryant is talking to people in the locker room. You play football, Joy. You know Dez Bryant's probably talking to several players who are Cowboys. Some of them were his former teammates. And so this is not something he's just throwing out of thin air. And so with all of that, with the fact of how much money Jerry spent, Ezekiel Elliott, Lyle Collins, Jalen Smith, in the offseason, the fact that Jerry and others expected this team to be able to compete and even win a Super Bowl. The fact that they are 0-4 against playoff teams. The fact that he went off on the coaching staff after losing to the defending Super Bowl champs in Foxborough in a rainstorm by 4 points. If he was so upset after that loss, what in the world is he going to do after if they lose to the Buffalo Bills, who, yeah, nice season, 8-3, all that. They're the worst 8-win team. I'd even say 7-win team in the league, in my view.
Chris, they have a running back playing quarterback. You have Josh Allen, who is pretending to be a quarterback. He is a running back.
So you're agreeing with me.
I'm agreeing with you as far as the quarterback situation, but the Bills' defense might actually even be better than the Patriots.
The defense is nice, but they beat one good team.
But the truth is, they beat Tennessee when
Tennessee was struggling. Everybody else is a bunch of chumps.
The problem with Jerry Jones, the reason why he's at his wit's end, is because he feels like he looks stupid out in the world. You know that he's a prideful man. This is an old man, and he does it, and he's being called in private circles. Oh, he's going off the deep end. He's like Al Davis. He's not paying attention to what's going on. And that's what's going on. You have Jason Garrett.
So you think he's let me ask, because I want you to answer this question. Is Jason Garrett coaching for his job tomorrow?
He's coaching for his job every game, Chris.
Well, no, I mean,
he's not going to be fired.
Okay, that's
even
what I
if they
know.
Lose on Thursday, provided there is one caveat though, because in that statement, Jerry Jones pointed out one particular position on the field, one particular side of the ball, which was the special teams. He said the special teams is unbelievably bad, and that's a matter of coaching. It's a matter of effort, and that if the special teams does not perform better, that could be the end of Jason Garrett. But truth be told, if you fire Jason Garrett while you're still in the lead in the division, while you can still go to the playoffs, that would be the silliest thing that Jerry Jones could do. You let the man finish out the season, because if he gets to the tournament, Cowboys get to the playoffs, then guess what? Once you're in the tournament, you can win the tournament. So as long as he at least
isn't March Madness, though.
But
if they're 0-5 against winning teams, you really – and I hear you, because we've seen wild cards win Super Bowl.
The 7-9 really Seahawks won a playoff game.
They got to win more than a game. You really think if they're – well, let me put it to you this way. Again, you've been in the locker rooms. What are the players – I already think that Jerry, over the years, has emasculated Jason Garrett.
Because I would agree
we
with
know,
that.
Right? So how much juice does he really have with those players? Now Jerry's done it publicly, gone off on him three times now, or, you know, basically put his job in jeopardy. How much is Garrett able to galvanize? How much support does he have amongst those players right now? Or do they see him as a dead man walking?
No, it's not even about the support of the players, because he is like Clay Helton at USC. Every single day, somebody's talking about his job. Should he be fired? Who's the next head coach? They're looking forward to the future without him. But in reality, the players in the locker room are all trying to win a Super Bowl. You got Dak trying to win a Super Bowl for multiple reasons.
Right.
One, just because he wants one. And second, because he wants all his coins. He's like, I was drafted in the fourth round. You owe me back pay. You owe me reparations. I need my coins for what I should have been drafted, for all the guys that were drafted in front of me. So the guys on the Cowboys team, especially with the leadership like Jason Witten, they are going to play and play hard. Now the matter is of the game planning. And of the actual, you know, the in-game management.
Okay.
And you may have had Jason Garrett make his worst move when he appointed Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator.
So okay, because everybody thought Moore was going to turn things around, right? He was going to open up the offense and do everything great.
Chris, what has been the theme of the NFL for basically the last year that people are seeing this year? You have all these young hot shots that were coming in the league, like Sean McVay. Oh, we're tearing up the league. And now all of a sudden, it's like, wait, hold on. Maybe these guys, as young, hot shot, and innovative as they are, maybe they don't have enough tools in their toolbox and enough experience to be able to combat some of the top defensive minds in the league that have been there and done that.
Let me ask you, what I'll give you is this, and I've said this myself when I've been on TV this week on First Things First. We don't have an example of an interim coach leading a team on a long playoff run. We can look in the NBA for examples, but in the NFL, we don't have it. In fact, Jason Garrett was just about the best interim coach when he took over for Wade Phillips. He went 5-3. That's about the best that an interim coach has done in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah,
that's the thing. But looking at Chris Richard, who I assume would take over if he's on that staff, defensive coordinator, if they got rid of Jason Garrett, he's viewed as a future head coach. He's fiery. He's competitive. Kind of the opposite demeanor of Jason Garrett. If they lose to Buffalo, you don't think that might give the locker room a necessary jolt if they went to Richard?
Okay, here's the truth of what happens in sports, particularly the NFL. When you fire a head coach on a losing team, The players know only two things happen. Either players get fired or coaches get fired. And then once the coach gets fired, they're like, wait, hold up. Everybody's job is on notice. So if you notice when that happens, teams usually have an uptick in how they play for a game or two or three, and then it kind of tapers off. But the problem with hiring an interim, putting in an interim head coach is that you put yourself in a bad position for the next season and right. for the rest of that season. Because if the interim coach, let's say it is Chris Richard, if he comes in and he coaches well, if they go to the playoffs and they win a game or two in the playoffs, then you're saying, oh, we have to retain him, right?
Right, right.
And he may not be the best candidate to be the head coach. And you've put yourself in a situation to where you're like, oh, wait, hold up. I don't know who to hire. And you already have the speculation of the next Cowboys head coach, which is actually craziness to me. They're talking about Urban Meyer. And they're talking about Josh McDaniels.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You see him and think like a man. You seen him and think like a man, too. You seen him in Ride Along, Daddy Daycare, and many other things. He's our next guest on Celebrity Corner.
Oh, my God.
Time now for the Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
All right, he's been on before. It's our man, the actor comedian Gary Owen. Gary, welcome back to the Odd Couple.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, our producer Rob G wrote up a great tease. He said, "When you're a lifelong Bengals fan, it helps to have a sense of humor." Got to be true, man. I mean, is that true in your case?
And it doesn't help that the quarterbacks that are just flourishing right now, we were right there. Lamar Jackson, we were right there. Patrick Mahomes. Well, we picked John Ross at 9, and the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes at 10.
So are you more upset with the John Ross where you could have had Patrick Mahomes or Billy Miller where you could have had Lamar Jackson?
Oh, Lamar Jackson. No question. I think Billy Miller's a bust. I think that's been proven. So, I mean, John Ross just hasn't been able to stay healthy, but I think Lamar Jackson hurts twice as much right now, especially because he's in the division.
Gary, I get that you're from the Cincinnati area, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Why not just switch teams? Nobody would be upset at you. There are a lot of national fans now. I mean, the Bengals aren't going anywhere. I grew up in Cincinnati, too. I'm not a Bengals fan. I've moved on. I've gone to bigger and better things.
I've tried, man. I swear I've tried. And it's like an abusive relationship. And they just won't let me out. I'm like a stepdad that they got me locked in the basement. Won't let me out.
I bet you feel a lot better. Marvin Lewis is probably could run for mayor right now in Cincinnati. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. Now he looks like he was Bill Belichick there.
Right. Well, he left us a couple gifts, Billy Miller. Appreciate that, Marv. Well, maybe he knew he was on the way out. He goes, oh, you want a franchise changing quarterback? Nah. I'm going to give this guy to my league.
We're on with Gary Owen right now, actor, comedian Gary Owen. You guys go to GaryOwen.com for all his tour dates. He'll be in Denver at the Denver Improv this weekend. How hard is it? Because I grew up a kind of Dallas Cowboy fan. Then when I went to the NFL, I kind of lost my allegiance for teams. And now I just appreciate players. So I don't understand the jealousy that you must feel every single week when you know that your team is just destined for just suckitude, and you have to just watch everybody else flourish.
I don't think I've ever missed Rob Parker so much. I didn't think I'd ever say that, but I really missed him.
Oh man!
Well, go on.
It's just I'm so used to it at this point, and you keep waiting. You just keep waiting, like, and now we're at a point where we don't want to go 0-16, but we don't want to win 2-3 games and not get that number one pick either. I don't want the Dolphins coming in and swooping up Burrows. So right now we're in a weird quandary. It's like I don't root for us to lose, but I don't want us to win every game or nothing like that. I just want us one. Just one. One be good.
So who do you want? Do you want Joe Burrow? Do you want Tua? Or do you want Justin Herbert out of Oregon?
Oh, Burrow's by far. And he's an Ohio kid. He grew up not too far from Cincy, like an hour outside. So, I mean, Burrow's by far.
You are setting yourself up for another Achilles Smith, I'm telling you. If you pick Joe Burrow.
You, Achilles was black. How do you even make that comparison?
It's the same.
That is rare. That is rare that a black and white player get compared. That's
no, I don't mean in terms of talent. I'm saying that you got a one-year starter, a guy who flourished in a system for a year. This is a tease,
though,
Gary.
George.
This is a tease. I'm telling you, do not get your hopes up. Just take Tua and be okay, or grab Justin Herbert, because I'm telling you that Joe Burrow may let you down.
I don't believe you. I'm trying to argue with somebody that used to be in the league, and I'm like, I just don't believe you.
All right, well then I'm going to double down on you then. I know you're an Ohio guy, so obviously you loved LeBron James. How does it feel for you to watch LeBron James in the jersey that he's belonged in his whole entire life, in a Lakers jersey?
Well, see, Cincinnati doesn't really have a team. And what people don't realize is Indiana is actually the closer NBA city to Cincinnati. It's only like an hour and a half away.
Right.
But LeBron is kind of like Ohio State. He kind of galvanizes the whole state and brings us together. So, like you guys, what you said earlier, NFL, I'm loyal to the Bengals to a fault. But the NBA, and then finally work, we get to know guys, you kind of start rooting for the players. So, I was so frustrated when Jordan was in the league because I rooted against him because I was like a Ewing, Georgetown, then I followed him to the Knicks type of dude. So, I said, if another guy comes along like Jordan, I'm just going to roll with it. And then it happened to be LeBron. And I said, okay, I'm going to roll with him. So, wherever he goes, I find myself rooting for whatever team he's on.
Now, we've been told your wife is a Golden State Warriors fan. So, obviously, she's had the upper hand. She's owned you for the last several years. But now the tables have turned. What's the family situation like with the NBA as far as you versus her?
I don't know, but all of a sudden she's watching a lot of Real Housewives. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah. She turned the TV off. I tell you, the Warriors are horrible. And the Lakers look good. LeBron, you think the Lakers are going to win it this year? Are you convinced?
Yeah, I even went on ESPN and told Carrie Champion that before the season started. And she looked at me like I was crazy. I said, nah. I said, I think LeBron, like, he finally got a real off season to get his body right, to rest up. I mean, people don't realize that. He had 6 months off, where normally he was having 3 months off.
No, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. Gary, let me ask you this, because my wife and I went to a comedy show this past weekend, and it was our second straight comedy show that, to be nice, was subpar. And
We didn't
see you. We got to get out there and see you. But I told her as we were leaving, I said, one thing I learned, it's a lot of bad comics out there. So how challenging is it to be a comedian? And I mean, I saw people up there on stage that were bombing, people not laughing, and they just had to stick it out. How challenging and tough is it to come up with really good material?
Well, now, let me ask you this. Were you at an open mic night, or were you paying money to see seasoned professionals?
I don't want to say the comedy club, because the people, you know, they might know. I don't want to call them out. But they were professionals. Now, they were upstarts. You know, none of them were big time. But they were, you know, getting paid for what they did. It wasn't an open mic night.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been, the one thing I've been good at is making people laugh. It's the one thing, and I've never, like, written a joke down either. It's just all kind of – it's in my brain, and I'm on stage so much, it just kind of comes out.
So do you plan – do you have a – like, even in your mind, do you have kind of an outline of where you're going, or you just go up there and let it rip?
No, I mean, there are nights when you – if you get a rowdy crowd sometimes, you're like, okay, that goes away. But most of the time, you got it in your brain. You know, you're prepping in your brain what you're going to say. And, you know, I've always thought, like, get the crowd on your side depending on the city I'm in. And I try to do local stuff first. And it's almost like, how do you know about that? and that always works for me. But as far as, like, not being funny, I don't even know what you're talking about, Chris.
Now you are funny. I'm not even just saying that because you're on, but I've seen you. You're hilarious.
I saw him in Portland a few years ago as well. We're on with Gary Owen, actor and comedian, and his latest comedy special. You can see it on Showtime On Demand, and you can go to GaryOwen.com for all his upcoming tour dates and shows, and he's going to be at the Denver Improv this weekend. But Gary, I got a question for you, because Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and your wife, Kenya. Your wife, Kenya's black, and you always talk about your interracial relationship. So I want to know, whose family's house do you go over for Thanksgiving, and what dishes were you mandated to throw out after you've been with a black woman for so long?
Well, listen, we got 80 people coming over our house tomorrow.
Wow. 80. Wow.
And so we're having it. Everybody's coming over. So my wife's cooking, obviously. But even when we wouldn't have it and we would go over my relative's side for Thanksgiving, I'd wake up in the morning and my wife would make a full Thanksgiving feast. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm not eating that bland stuff. We about to eat at your desk. So we'd always get to my dad's house or my aunt's house and we'd just be nibbling.
So they're putting raisins in the macaroni and cheese and weirdo stuff like that.
Well, I gotta admit, like, in the black household, sweet potato pie is a big,
yes,
big
not pumpkin.
Dessert.
I've never even had pumpkin pie. Never in my life have I had pumpkin pie.
Well, you're missing out, because I gotta admit, man, I kind of like pumpkin a little better when it's done.
Really?
Right.
Of course you
and
do.
And maybe
Gary.
That's the white meat of course coming out.
Listen. My blackness will not allow me to try pumpkin pie when sweet potato pie is available.
Oh, you gotta try it, bro.
Look, I can settle this. I've had both. Pumpkin pie is not bad. It's not a bad alternative, but sweet potato pie is definitely better. But pumpkin's not bad, so you could try it.
Yeah, it's not. It's like Porzingis when you got Luka Doncic. Right.
You'd rather have LeBron, but you'll take Porzingis if you have to, right?
Yeah, we'll take Luka right now. It's a good second option.
Luka's a bad boy. Luka's a bad boy. All right, Gary, we wish we could keep you on, but you know how this thing works. Gary Owen, yeah. Actor, comedian. Check him out, GaryOwen.com. You can see all his upcoming tour dates. He'll be in Denver this weekend, so make sure you go and check him out. Gary, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Luka Doncic is taking the NBA by storm. In case you haven't been paying attention, Luka Doncic, the 20-year-old, 6'7", do-it-all player for the Dallas Mavericks. He's essentially their point guard. Kind of like James Harden, LeBron James, all that. Averaging 30 points, 10 rebounds, 9.5 assists. He very well could average a triple-double this year. And most importantly, he has got the Dallas Mavericks, who have him, Kristaps Porzingis, and then a bunch of nondescript teammates with them. J.J. Barrera's nice for what he is. He just came back from injury. Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, guys like that, Tim Hardaway Jr. And he's got them 11-6, and in the mix, they were the fourth seed before last night when they lost to the Clippers. They might be five right now. But they're on a 50-plus win game pace, about a 53-win pace. He is right in the thick of the MVP race. And the question now, George, that many people are asking is he the greatest 20-year-old we've ever seen? And let me throw out – now, remember, obviously a lot of players are older than 20 when they enter the NBA, especially back in the day, the great superstars. But there were some. Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, and Magic Johnson were all 20-year-olds playing in the NBA, and people are saying Luka is better than all of them. Ralph Lawler, the longtime Clippers play-by-play guy, he said it yesterday before the game that Luka Doncic is the best 20-year-old player the NBA has ever seen. That's a direct quote. What say you?
Okay, so when you look at the part, so actually, first of all, I'm going to agree with Ralph Lawler. I'm going to agree. Because, so when you look at some of the top names on the 20-year-old list, obviously you got Magic Johnson, you have LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Davis, like some of these guys who Kobe. Have had, yeah. But when you look at the 1992-93 Orlando Magic, they were 41-41 with Shaquille O'Neal. And you just told us, and the 2004-2005 LeBron James led. Yeah, LeBron James led team. They were 42-40.
Didn't make the playoffs in the East.
Yes, and Luka Doncic is in the Western Conference, which is far and away better than the Eastern Conference right now. You're going to have teams that finish 9th and 10th that could easily make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So if he can, and he has his team in the playoff hunt right now. So if he can make the playoffs on a 53-win pace, then yes, he would be having a more successful season. I know that points are not the same in the NBA because scoring's higher, the amount of free throws, all of that, and triple doubles are way more common. But when you get a 20-year-old averaging 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 9.5 assists, that means that he has control over the game. That means that his maturation is real. And last night they said he got shut down. He got shut down. He almost had a triple-double with 22 points last night. And that's a shutdown game.
Well, 22-6-6, I believe.
Yeah, but that's still a dominant performance.
Well, wasn't dominant. 4-14. Eight rebounds, 6 assists.
For a 22-year-old. A 20-year-old, for him to have such control over the game amongst like some of the greats in the game, and they're aiming to stop him, Chris. They're not just out to just play against Luka. They hear the hype and they want to stop him.
Well, I do have to give you that he is controlling the game even more than LeBron James did as a 20-year-old. Now, LeBron averaged 27 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 7.2 assists his second year when he was 20, turning 21. And Luka will turn 21 later this year. And we have to see, will Luka keep the Mavericks on this pace and indeed make the playoffs? I do also think that Luka has a couple of advantages that LeBron did not have his second year. Number one, he's got Kristaps Porzingis as a teammate, a second guy. And I'm not saying he's a superstar.
He had the big
not.
Z, man.
But Z, no, stop it. Stop it. I love Z for what he was. But he didn't have anybody who was as good as Kristaps Porzingis.
Correct.
And with shout out to Paul Silas, who was a good coach, he is not as good a coach as Rick Carlisle. So those are two things that Luka had going for him. But my argument is not LeBron. The best 20-year-old player ever to play in the NBA, and I'm going to have to turn my NBA wisdom on to you, George.
Okay.
Magic Johnson. Now, I know he averaged 18 points. Magic only averaged 19 for his career. So he enters the league 20 years old, averaging 18 points, 7.7 rebounds, 7.3 assists. Remember, they had Norm Nixon there, too, who was an all-star guard at times. He averaged more assists than Magic that year. But Magic had a very good season. And in the finals, and I know it was just one game, but it's not like he had a horrible season and lights it up in one game. In the NBA finals, I contend that Magic Johnson, as a 20-year-old, played arguably the best game in NBA history. And here's why I say that. When you consider the stage, it was game 6 of the NBA Finals. When you consider the opponent, it was the iconic Dr. J, a guy that Magic was a hero to Magic Johnson. When you consider that the MVP, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was out with injury, and you consider his age, 20 years old, rookie, Magic Johnson, 3 years removed from high school, and he played a different position, a point guard played center, and he puts up 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and I believe 4 steals. That if a player did that today, if Luka Doncic got to the finals and did that, we would be crowning him the greatest player of all time the next day on all our shows.
So the season's not over with, Chris.
Magic Johnson. Hold on.
The season's not even over with.
Did you actually suggest that Luka Doncic could lead them to the finals?
No. But Magic Johnson didn't lead that team. 20. He didn't lead that team to the finals.
It was Magic was an all-star. He was a great player. He immediately became one of the best players in the league. And when push came to shove, I threw out all the reasons. He delivered mightily, arguably the best game ever played. Arguably.
Chris, let me break this down to you, sir.
I know you weren't born then, but I'm just saying.
I was a year away from being born.
You gotta go look at the game.
I have seen that game. I am a historian of sports and a sports junkie.
And you are an LA native, so come on. How dare you say Luka was better than Magic as a 20-year-old?
Here is the thing. We are 20 games into this season for Luka, 19 games.
What's he going to do to top 42, 15, 7, and 4 in the deciding game of the NBA Finals?
He may not get to the NBA Finals.
This
season, he can still have a more dominant season, a regular season. So let's throw out the postseason.
We can.
Luka is controlling the game. He is
Magic
being dominant. And I will add another caveat to it, because there's a lot of people that are going to point to LeBron James and talk about the history of what LeBron James has turned into. But you also, I hate to say it, but Luka is doing it with Larry Bird like physical attributes and not LeBron James.
True. I think he's the new age version of Larry Bird, even though they play a little differently.
Yeah, but
he's a new age version.
I 100% agree with you. He doesn't play above the rim. He plays measured. He plays controlled. It's all his game more mirrors the way that Kawhi Leonard just moves at his own pace, or Paul George, where they move at their own pace and don't try to beat you necessarily solely with athleticism.
No doubt.
I love his game. I love watching it.
I love it too. I look, the dude is fantastic, and he's in the MVP race right now.
Give him his credit, Chris. So if he finishes number two or three,
was a better 20-year-old.
So if he finishes, so if he wins the MVP this year, will you say that he had a better season than Magic Johnson?
Let him win the MVP first.
I'm just asking.
We'll see. There's a lot to happen.
No, I need
Magic
you to make
Johnson
a commitment,
won the
Chris.
The finals MVP. No, not yet. No commitment. No commitment.